when I was at Nottingham, I'm afraid to say, and I do apologise to my professors and my tutors for this, I wasn't really a very conscientious student, and I spent most of my time actually in the New Theatre, and I thought that my future career path was going to be in theatre, that I applied for a postgraduate course in theatre directing, and I thought, well, maybe I won't get that, so I better try and get a job as well. And a friend of mine had gone on to work at BBC Radio Nottingham, so I wrote to them at the same time. My parents wouldn't give me any money to study theatre because they thought it was a dead end and I wouldn't have a career. So I applied for a grant from my local authority, and I wrote to the BBC, and so in the same week I was offered a grant of £900 a year to study theatre at Cardiff University, with no guarantee of any work at the end of it, or a contract at Radio Nottingham for a year at £3,000 a year.
So actually it was completely by chance?
It was sort of by chance, yes, although that radio has always been a huge enthusiasm of mine, and I really learned that from my dad, because my dad was a big radio nut, and he had a reel-to-reel tape recorder, an old-fashioned tape recorder, and he used to tape all the old radio comedies off the BBC, things like Hancock's Half Hour, all the classic 1950s comedies. When a lot of my contemporaries were listening to music radio, I used to listen to the Today programme before I went to school in the morning. And there was no University Radio Nottingham in those days. So it just began after I'd left. So I left in the summer, and I think it began in the autumn. And so what happened was that I was working at Radio Nottingham, and I came back to do an all-night broadcast for charity on University Radio Nottingham.
Do you think ultimately your degree was useful at all, or was it more the overall university experience?
I did learn things from studying law about a way of approaching problems, about a way of thinking, which have been incredibly useful to me, particularly in my managerial career. I didn't learn nothing when I was at Nottingham from my degree, but I wish I'd applied myself more to it. And I'm delighted that I was given the privilege of spending 3 years at a university with lots of really interesting creative people.
Well, at least you came out with a lot of experience from the theatre anyway.
Oh, no, definitely. I mean, obviously, that was incredibly constructive, and a lot of the things that I learnt at the New Theatre have been enormously useful in my career, because that was my first experience of managing creative people. It was my first experience of pulling teams together to work on projects. It was my first experience of having a budget. So a lot of the things I did in the New Theatre were absolutely crucial in the later stages of my career.
What were the radio studios actually like when you came along, first of all, in 1978, when the radio studios started broadcasting?
I mean, they seemed quite primitive, but nonetheless, they were perfectly pleasant. I didn't feel that they were inadequate in any way, but they were obviously less well-equipped than the BBC studios.
Have you had any experience of student radio sort of more recently? Have you ever been to see any university student radios?
So I started the Student Radio Awards. And I started the Student Radio Awards because of an email I got when I was controller of Radio 1 from two students at Nottingham University saying, wouldn't it be a good idea if we had some Student Radio Awards? And I thought that would be an excellent idea because, to me, student radio is a place where people can experiment and learn. The people who are taking part in it are the talents of the future.
So after university, when you began your career at BBC Radio Nottingham, you then went on to work on Newsbeat.
What happened was that I was at Radio Nottingham. I really wanted to work on Newsbeat on Radio 1 because I thought that was, you know, I was a young person. I was 21 years old when I was at Radio Nottingham, which was a great station, but I was largely broadcasting to people of my parents' age or even my grandparents' age, and I learnt an enormous amount from Radio Nottingham, but I really thought it would be wonderful to be broadcasting to people my own age, and I've always loved music, and Radio 1 was the place to be, and Newsbeat was a fantastic programme because I thought they took news and did it in the style of pop radio but without being patronising, and it was a really exciting programme to listen to.
Then from then it escalated and you became station controller of Radio 1, and I was going to ask you a little bit about how you changed Radio 1 actually when you became station controller, because you made a lot of changes, and some people criticised you for employing much younger presenters than before, which perhaps relates back onto what you were saying about how BBC Radio Nottingham, you were broadcasting to a much older audience. So did you feel that you had to employ younger presenters when you became station controller of Radio 1 to keep the audience interested?
You have to understand what the context was. This was 1993. Radio 1 was an incredibly successful radio station with about 19 million listeners every week. And many of those listeners were the people who tuned in right in the early days of Radio 1. So they were, it was appealing to that growing audience of baby boomers. And it had become a kind of middle-of-the-road, middle-aged radio station, very much loved by its audience. But the question that was being asked was, well, what is the role of Radio 1? What's it there to do? And my answer to that, and the BBC's answer to that, was, well, what Radio 1 should be doing is going back to its roots. That is, broadcasting the latest new music to an audience of young people. So where was the station for young people? The answer is it should be Radio 1. And it wasn't really so much about the age of the presenters as it was about their ability to connect with the music that young people were listening to and the innovative new music.
So really it was more to do with how in touch the presenters were with
Yes, attitude, not age, I think, is the best way of looking at it.
One other thing that you did when you took over as station controller was that you employed many more female presenters than had previously been on Radio 1. Did you think that radio was a rather male-dominated atmosphere when you joined?
Yes. Yes, I thought it was unfortunately male-dominated and sexist and old-fashioned. And I thought that it needed to be modernised and it needed properly to reflect the people that it was broadcasting to. So more people from ethnic minorities, more women, just a different feeling to the whole atmosphere of it, because in the traditional past it had been very dominated by men. And so brought in lots of people. We put the first woman on the breakfast show in Zoe Ball, brought in Joe Wiley, brought in lots of people who were specialists in their field. So we tried to broaden the range of people and to bring people who were absolutely passionate about music, whether they were men or women.
Did you ever worry that you might be seen to be choosing people just because they were women?
Do you know, I didn't. I didn't worry about that because we only chose people who were talented. Well, there were two things, really, that you needed to do. One was to have a passion for new music. The other one was to be great company and great entertainment.
I was just going to go on to when you became director of radio for all of the BBC stations except Five Live. And I wanted to ask you about having such a high-profile career, because obviously there must be a lot of downsides to that as well, always being in the public eye.
There was obviously a lot of controversy about the changes that we made at Radio 1, and there were a lot of very nasty newspaper articles because people at first didn't really understand what we were trying to do. The audience figures fell quite dramatically, as you might expect they would, as the baby boomer generation switched off. There were some very personal attacks in the newspapers, and I didn't find that very pleasant. So you take it on the chin, you put up with it because you've got a long-term vision, and you can see that what you're doing is ultimately in the best interests of the audience and of the BBC.
Did you avoid reading the papers if you thought there might be something coming out that would be controversial or that wouldn't be terribly pleasant about you?
No, I'm afraid to say I read them all. And I read them all because I thought it was my job to try to get the newspapers to understand what we were doing and to get positive PR. So in order to do that, I had to understand what was going on out there and what sort of atmosphere we were working in. You know, it took time and it took work. But I think, unfortunately, you know, you have to read the hurtful stuff in order to be able to combat it.
So we focused on pressures of having such a high-profile career. What would you say are the highlights of it?
Well, I mean, you know, it's an enormous, enormous privilege. These are some of the most well-funded and envied, most creative radio stations in the world. It's absolutely fantastic. And to get to be able to give people jobs that their careers are then built on, to give people a chance to appear on the radio and then to find that they go on and they're still broadcasting 20, 25, 30 years later, is another wonderful feeling. The great thing about radio is it's a medium of the imagination.
One final question. Do you feel that student radio is the right way for students to pursue a career in radio?
Well, I think it's an absolutely great thing for people to do, because you've got the chance to get experience, you should always take it. And student radio is a great way to get experience. So if you're looking at somebody's CV and wanting to check whether they're passionate about radio, if you find out that they've been working hard at student radio whilst they've been studying for their degree, then it always looks good. So yes, I think it's a tremendous way to do it.